Kia ora, Gareth.
Good evening.
When a housing market is one of the bubbliest in the world, the assumption is that it's going to burst.
Yeah, and that's certainly the concern that we've seen, I guess, building up, not even since COVID, but you look back over the decade before that, and it's been a very much a one-way street for house prices since a couple of years after the global financial crisis. And I think, there's been a whole lot of factors that have contributed to that: population growth, not being able to build enough to keep up with the rate of population growth, and so buildings fallen behind. You've had progressively lower interest rates, of course, over time, which have helped to draw more people into the market. Just a whole lot of factors coming together that you look at and you go, well, how long can this keep running? And, I've been forecasting it for 22 years, and you looked at it 5 years ago and said, well, it can't keep going, and yet here we are talking about 30% house price inflation across the country at the moment, and not a great deal of end in sight.
Well, you published an article today, as I said, obscene house price rises reflect lack of stock for sale, which goes over all of these aspects, and house price inflation up to 30% per annum. And also the national median price up $200,000.
Yeah, they're phenomenal numbers. I mean, the one that really jumped out at me when I was looking through them was the price growth in Manawatu, Whanganui over the last year, 52%. Now, I've seen 52% before, but they've generally been for very small areas where you've had investors rushing in at the end of the property boom, and they're looking for sort of cheap property where there's only one or two small towns left. So to get a region the size of Manawatu, Whanganui going at that rate is just ridiculous, really, and it just does show you the sort of problems that have all sort of come together to drive the market at the moment. I mean, you mentioned that the signs of it turning, and we have seen sales volumes just edging down over the last couple of months. That's reassuring in one sense, but the thing I look at and that really concerns me at the moment is there's very few properties on the market for sale. It's less than 2 months worth of sales, which when you look back over the data of the last 15 or 20 years is a record low number. And then the question is, well, normally when we look at the way the dynamics of the market work, when prices rise by 20% or in this case 30% over the last year, you get to a point where some investors go, this is pretty darn good. I'm going to cash out and I'm going to take the money because there's a risk that prices may head the other way and they want to, realise those gains. There's no evidence that we're seeing that occurring at the moment, and whether that's because we've got interest rates that are so low that people just go, well, what else would I do with my money? The other factor that, just sprung to mind was just around the bright line changes, not the ones this year, but back in 2018 where it was extended from 2 to 5 years. And if people have bought property in 2018 or 2019 now, they've only had it for 2 or 3 years and they're probably going, well, maybe I'll just hold it for another couple of years and that way I won't be facing that hefty tax bill. And so that could also be contributing to the fact that there's few properties on the market. And the problem is, yes, we may be seeing sort of demand easing back with some of the changes we've seen this year, but if the supply is not there, the recipe is still potentially there for those prices to keep going, even if sales volumes do dip away.
Yeah, so prices still rising, people still prepared to pay the price. So what's it actually going to take to reverse the trend, or is it not going to reverse?
I mean, one of the risks we're looking at the moment is around interest rates. We know there's a lot of inflationary pressure across the economy coming from various sources. Reserve Bank at this stage not looking to react to those. But you look forward over a 12 or 24-month horizon as interest rates do start to push up. There will be people who have stretched themselves to get into property, and that will start to put the squeeze on. So that could be the catalyst or the event that does finally take the heat out of the housing market. It also means that you've probably got some other investment alternatives that start to become a little more attractive, not a lot, but the relativities do change a bit there. At the moment, with those very low interest rates and some of those tax rules, the fact that you're not getting a return elsewhere does suggest to us, there are risks that prices just could maintain momentum longer than we'd normally expect, given the other slight signs that we are seeing of the housing market slowing, probably in response to the government's changes that they announced back in March.
So when you say longer than you would normally expect, what are we talking here?
Yeah, well, look, normally the sort of dynamic around the signs of, so when sales turn, you can look down the track 3, 6, maybe at a push 12 months before that really becomes evident in terms of some of those price numbers slowing. But at the moment, though, if we're not talking about interest rates rising significantly for another 12, or, you know, to any degree for another 12 months or so, and the fact that, you know, we've had $50 billion of stimulus pouring into the economy, courtesy of the government over the last year. I mean, for some economies, that's been necessary. But you look at somewhere like Manawatu Whanganui as a prime example, where agriculturally based, still selling, you know, export incomes are going fantastic. And you talk to people in those regions, and they say, COVID? What COVID? So the stimulus is almost not really necessary. So you can see how that can all come together and just, you know, keep driving a market very strongly. And like I said earlier, we haven't been building enough houses in many areas. Auckland's been the most critical, but Wellington will be another region where you're running with a shortage of housing there. And so until that's rectified, you know, and that housing undersupply does start to shrink, that is still going to be a persistent problem as well.
And when do you think that will start to shrink, this demand-supply imbalance?
Well, I mean, look, the good news in that respect is that we have seen net migration slowing, obviously, with the borders having been closed. And we, you know, compared to the sort of demand being driven by population, the consent numbers, which are sitting around about 43,000 over the last year nationally, it's well ahead of what the sort of demand figures would be now suggesting due to population growth and the other factors that feed into that. The question is, you know, how big was the undersupply that we, you know, built up over the previous 5 or 10 years? It could well take 2, 3, 4 years to completely turn that around as well. And the issue is, at the moment, we're seeing massive cost pressures coming through in the likes of the building sector because demand pressure is so high. You've got supply chain disruptions internationally and higher freight costs coming through as well. And so while we might have been consenting 43,000 houses a year at the moment, it doesn't necessarily mean we're able to build them quite that quickly either.
This texter says, no mention of banks or lending.
Look, I think, you know, the banks are tighter in some of their lending practices, certainly than if you went back to 2004, 2005, prior to the global financial crisis. Some of that is self-imposed. Some of that is imposed by the Reserve Bank as well and sort of prudential regulations that they've put in place. But yeah, look, it's a very different world in many respects to when you look back at sort of what house prices were relative to incomes back in the 50s and 60s. You know, we had interest rates at you know, not much higher than they are now, and yet we, you know, didn't have the affordability issues that you face right across the country. And so, you know, you can make an argument that potentially we do need to, you know, still tighten up some of those rules a bit more than we have seen even over the last few years. So, questions are around lending practices and the ease of getting credit as well.
And Gareth, I saw on TV One News tonight that many people are getting loans for renovations when they're needing more room rather than moving, and making the most of what they have seems to be a bit of a trend.
Yeah, it can be something that's a little bit difficult to get really good data on, but it certainly has been a trend that comes through from time to time when the market is booming. And that's the reality, isn't it? As an investor, if you're able to cash out of the market, then, you know, you've made your gains and that's all well and good. But for all the rest of us, while your house might have gone up by 30 or 40% in value over the last year, in reality, you're not actually any richer because if you are selling, you're going to have to be buying in the same market as well. And if you're trying to upsize in particular along those lines, then it may well just be easier to sit tight and go through that sort of extension process. So, yeah, it is a dynamic that we do see when the market is very hot and it's hard to find those sort of properties that you might be looking for in terms of, you know, moving up or upsizing your house.
Would you buy a house in today's market?
Look, I mean, I, if you go back 6 months, you know, I was thinking there'd be some bargains out there in somewhere like Queenstown with the way that the border's being shut and some of the potential horror stories there, and actually went through the bit of a process of looking around and thinking, you know, there might be something. But it just became apparent over you know, a 2 or 3 month period, that those bargains were not there. Prices had dipped very briefly in somewhere like Queenstown, and then they were off in the other direction again. It's just, it felt uncomfortable. But I also know from experience, having, you know, gone through the property purchasing process a number of times, sometimes you look at it and you think, gee, do I need to stretch myself this far? And then you look back in 2 years later and you go, well, I'm glad I bought then. So it's a case
don't
of...
Don't say that.
I mean, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't in many respects.
Yeah, very good. Gareth, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thanks very much, Karen.